welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Mizell, and it is really nice to be back, like back in the rhythm. I make this podcast on Mondays. It is Monday when I'm recording this, obviously. And it's just real nice to be like, it's Monday, it's podcast day. I am back in the groove. Now, I had a great week. I had a great weekend. I've been up to a lot. I don't know why I save like all details of my personal life for the beginning of the show, and then the rest is just all theme park related. But in the past few days, I went to my friend Jeffrey, who you all know, he was on an episode, Jeffrey Epstein. I went to his MPTF event. It is a wonderful organization. It's a charity. It's fantastic. Look it up. It's phenomenal. I've talked about it on here before, so I won't get into it. But it's Motion Picture Television Fund, and their Next Gen board threw a summer party. It was wonderful. I bought a lot of raffle tickets and I didn't win, and I'm bummed because the grand prize was a flight and hotel stay in Chicago. Like, are you kidding me? I literally need that. I need that because I didn't win. I was waiting before I booked my trip home to see if I won, and I didn't win. Kind of bummed about it. No big deal. It's totally fine. I can fly myself there. It's just, you could have won a stay at the Four Seasons, but whatever. It's fine. All the money went to MPTF anyway, so it was delightful. But I did that. As you're going to hear in this episode, I went to Disneyland. Noah Kahan played Hollywood Bowl. We went to that, which was fun. Pearl went to soundcheck. We bought these little headphones that I'm sure I've mentioned before in here. I put on her when we saw John Stamos do Candlelight at Epcot. And if I didn't have those with me on that trip, just like the horns alone, it would have been game over. But she wore them and it was perfect. And she really, that wasn't that long ago. That was 6 months ago. And we tried to put them on her and she was like, get those off me. Like, absolutely not. So listen, children grow up really fast. They were not lying. And sometimes you end up with a spare pair of headphones. So if anybody needs those, let me know. Also, up top, I want to mention, if you were one of the two people who met me in the parking garage at Disneyland yesterday and gave me the most beautiful Small World inspired moon pin and told me you loved my content, I am so grateful. Thank you so much. They gave me the pin right as the elevator doors were closing and I was like, ah, thank you. And so I couldn't say a proper thank you, but it's beautiful and it's sitting on my desk and I think it's going to remain on my desk probably for the rest of my life because it's a beautiful pin. It's by Match Accessories. And I Googled it and it looks like Match Accessories isn't around anymore. But it's such a lovely, lovely pin. Very Small World vibes. The little banana crescent moon. Oh, I guess it's a moon, not a banana. But it can be anything it wants to be if it's yellow and shaped like that. So whatever it is, I love it. And if you are listening, thank you so much. Now, I don't want to keep you from theme park stuff, so we're just going to get into it. But is that it? That's it? Yeah, that's it. Oh my God. I'm so happy to be back. Okay, stick around after this ad break. We'll be back with so much theme parks. Woo!
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. We've got a fun little grab bag of highlights, of lowlights, of everything in between lights from my four recent trips to the California parks. A few weeks ago, I went to Universal with my friend Lauren. I went back just with Pearl. And then I went to Disneyland twice in the past week with Pearl Girl. And before we get into the recommendations, the food surprises, the policy shocks, and so much more, I want to start with two pressing things that are so important and noteworthy. I didn't want there to be backing audio. Like, I really wanted this to be in the main part of the podcast so you could hear all of it because it's very essential. Now, first off, there is big Universal Studios Hollywood news. Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge now takes Express Pass, which means that to get an expedited entry onto this ride, you do not need to book a VIP tour. So to skip the line, it is the standard Express Pass procedure. Now, you can purchase Express, or if you have an annual pass that has that after 3 p.m. benefit, no matter how you get on, you can board the ride through an expedited lane. This has not happened since the ride opened. This is a big deal. This may change on if you want to upgrade to that instead of doing the early morning situation. I have not updated the Universal Guide podcast episode yet. I still need to, but I want to make sure you take note for your summer travels because that can really affect what type of ticket type you may want to buy. And number two, we haven't talked about it for a reason, but my friend Hillary texted me about it yesterday, and I think we need to just quickly discuss Disney Springs' drone show. I myself have not seen it. I was supposed to see it when I was in Florida for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. As you know, I ended up in those late night park shenanigans, just trying to get back on the ride to see it at night, as that was my top priority. So I wasn't able to make it to Disney Springs that evening to see the show. But I want to make sure I mentioned it because it's a whole thing. Like, from what I've heard, again, I'm not too tapped into it because I haven't been covering or reporting on it. But from what I understand, it is a traffic bonanza. It is very tricky to get in there. It is very tricky to get out of there. And as my friend mentioned, I saw this online that Summer House on the Lake, the restaurant, charges a $25 cover, essentially, when you make a reservation to sit at their outdoor tables that have the great view of the show. And that is, I think basically the long story short is that you may have made a reservation without knowing that, or may have hoped to sit outside and didn't know there was this premium, which they recently introduced. So I want to make sure you know, like, getting a view can be tricky. Traffic in and out, tricky. If you did not know this was happening, if you weren't even planning on seeing this and just wanted to go to dinner, just take note, make sure to do some more research to make sure you can get to your reservation, get in and out on time. Because from what I hear, just word on the street is that traffic can be hectic. Again, I'm not covering it and I feel bad whenever I talk about anything that I haven't personally researched and done, but I just want to make sure I flagged in case you were just casually hopping over to Disney Springs one night and were just shell-shocked that there was like all of these people going to see this show. So that's all I want to say. Beyond that, we will start with Disneyland Resort because I just went, it just happened hours ago, and I have a lot to talk to you about. I'm starting to realize, well, okay, I'll back it up. I'm starting to realize that I definitely messed up and should have gotten the more expensive Magic Key Pass because I'm out here dropping $17.50 on half-price parking like it's nothing. Please do not make me do the math. I don't want to know that with all these $17.50 parkings racking up, I probably could have gotten a higher tier pass. Big mistake. But anyway, what I was meaning to say is that I'm starting to realize that the best way to do Disneyland with a kid, with a small child, if you're local, is to do 3 hours total. Period. No more. Any longer, and you have to bring twice as much food and charge everything and worry about the fan dying or the sun goes down, you need backup clothes, or if it's the afternoon, you need a layer, and you have to bring twice as many diapers and twice as many wipes, and it just starts to get wild. If you only go for 3 hours, you can have a smaller bag, you can have less stuff, you can move through more easily, and then when you're fully out of food and out of stuff, you turn around and go home. Now, when they're younger, I'd say under a year, you do kind of need extra time because you don't want to get there and have them sleep the entire time you plan on going on a ride. That is the big panic associated with waiting in line for Peter Pan with a small child, I will tell you. But since we're just here to focus on Fantasyland rides and the crowds were so chill the day I went, it really turned out to be a wonderful day, even though we were only there for a few hours. I mean, it was boiling hot. Los Angeles is boiling hot right now. I sweat through my entire outfit that was made from a vintage bed sheet, and so I thought it would be cottony. Oh no, was not breezy. But anyway, it was completely doable. Now, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw that we had the most bizarre dose of perfect theme park luck. The drive from my house to Disneyland took under 40 minutes. Now, I don't even know how to express how short that is without saying it is unheard of. Save for like early 2020 when nobody was on the street, I have never, I've lived in this house for probably 5 years. It has never been under 40 minutes. Even when I've left at 6 a.m, I don't know what happened. We started the day with that. I was like, maybe I'll test my luck with the drive-through Starbucks near me. Pulled right in, no wait. This place is so busy that there's no way to explain the cones. They literally changed the way traffic works at that intersection in Hollywood because there is so much chaos pulling into that drive-through. That's why I've never gone. I went for the first time and I pulled right in. I get to Disneyland, I pull into an empty row. I'm like 6 cars in from the path to get to the elevator. I walk to security, I walk out of the garage. One person in line in front of me in security. Oh, and speaking of security, there is now a new Downtown Disney entrance for anyone coming from Pixar Place Hotel, Disneyland Hotel, Downtown Disney parking. And if you've heard rumblings or pictures of this new kind of, it looks a little mid-century modern, it's like a silver exterior. That entrance is different from if you're walking from the Mickey and Friends or Pixar Pal parking garage. If you're taking the walking path from Mickey and Friends, Pixar Pals, you are fine. You will use the same security as before. Those few sentences do sound like Disney AI gibberish, unless you know these places and you know the many, many words we have to know. But otherwise, if you know what that means, you may rest easy because you're not in that big, silvery, fancy security, which is probably going to be busier than this little one that's the walking path and the employee entrance. So it's nice. It's nice. Anyway, we get in. Easy. We get to the park. Easy. We walk in and we didn't really wait for anything the entire morning we were there. Peter Pan was at, I want to say 25 minutes. I didn't even look, but just seeing that the queue was half full, I immediately jumped in line. I had not seen the queue that low in years. I mean, we at 10 in the morning, it was half full. I don't know, dude. We got so lucky. And Disneyland crowd planning is always a little bonkers, just balancing holidays and school and travel and especially the Magic Key calendar. It's always been this weird juggle lately where the days you think will be busy, it's not, and vice versa. But I'd heard that Sundays were really the day to go, and they were the day to go. Even though I went on Sunday morning, the first Sunday morning of summer, and I only have a mid-level Magic Key, it was just easy breezy. If you want to get in on this easy Sunday action, I looked at some crowd calendars because, again, sussing out the crowds is not something I do. Even though there is like a full business there, I just, please don't make me do research about regional school schedules and like deal with numbers. I can't do it. I don't have the brain for it. But according to the pros who do it, apparently next weekend is also recommended with Sunday the 30th specifically looking really good. So just keep that in mind. I always use these calendars with a grain of salt. The one I looked at a few minutes ago said July 3rd is busy, but July 4th is not. I don't know about that. Blockout dates are very powerful. But anyway, sometimes you get lucky. And this week, and for anyone who goes next Sunday, you may get lucky as well. Now, we will get out of the, like, taking my baby to the Disneyland momville of it all soon. But for any of those of you who have small kids and are kind of wondering how it went on the rides, what I will say is that Pearl cried at the end of Peter Pan. She did her little more hand symbol for those who still sleep in on the weekends. Babies can sometimes communicate with sign language before they can say words. So there are these little keywords you can teach them, like more and eat and milk and all done. And she uses them for every, not just for feeding, which is what they're primarily for, but for everything. So she did her more little hand signal after It's a Small World, which is a top-rated review, and she didn't love it last time, which is nice. And then she weirdly did more for Pinocchio. And I don't know if you all have been on Pinocchio's daring journey lately, but that ride is dark. Like, literally dark. Dark, dark. I went with my friend Rachel, and even Rachel gasped at Monstro the Whale. Monstro comes out of nowhere. And yet, my small child, who's frightened by everything, she was frightened by a toy being splashed in the pool the other day, frightened by everything, was obsessed with Pinocchio. Now, do I think it's because I grew her in my body with a mostly popcorn diet and they have a reference to popcorn in the ride? Likely that's it, but still a absolute surprise nonetheless. I am hoping to do more guide posts soon. I did spill some tea to my Instagram subscribers and talked a little bit about this over the weekend, but I'm going to stay a little quiet about it otherwise. But I do want to do a podcast episode and probably like a video or two about what rides I recommend for which ages under 16 months at Disneyland and Disney World. So stay tuned for that. One day I will get my things together and do it. But the big news, the big thing I got to share from yesterday's Disneyland trip is that I may have found a new favorite Disneyland food. We wound up at Red Rose Tavern, which I never go to anymore since they got rid of those seasoned fries, which I loved, and I'm still bitter about it. But essentially, the menu now is burgers, flatbreads, chicken tenders. It's for vacation with multiple young children when you just need to eat, which is fine. It serves a purpose, and that's great. But there is a sleeper hit on this menu that I never knew about and blew me away. Now, some of you may have had this. It is the plant-based option there. It is available for breakfast and lunch and dinner. It costs just under $10, which is huge in 2024, personally. Just under $10. And it was so good. It's called the Little Town Harvest Bowl. Oh my God, that's kind of fun to say out loud. And what it is a quinoa bowl with the most delicious fresh roasted vegetables. They had big old chunks of mushrooms and cauliflower roasted wonderfully. And like, listen, it's summer. It is so hot in LA. I am not roasting cauliflower for 45 minutes in my kitchen. I will burn alive. And this had the best roasted vegetables. But that's not all. Quinoa, roasted vegetables, tossed with fresh arugula, fresh arugula, tomato, drizzled with a spicy lime aioli. It wasn't very limey. It was just like crisp and refreshing. And on top of that, on top of quinoa, mushroom, cauliflower, arugula, tomato, lime aioli, it was topped with, are you even ready for it? You never will be. It's topped with tater tots. It is a delicious salad topped with tater tots. You get to eat an array of vegetables and the ones I am not going to cook myself. Again, thank you very much. You get a delicious whole grain with protein because quinoa secretly has a ton of protein. You get a delightful little sauce on top and you get a little treat. No need to get a side of fries. No, I'll get a pretzel later. Like, no, you get your healthy, you get your energy, and you get a fun present mixed in with every bite for under $10. I posted a photo of it. I will post it again. It is hideous. I need to warn you. In that tavern lighting, it looks like something you'd find on the sidewalk of a college town on a Sunday morning, but it was so solid and even better, available all day with a limited breakfast menu that is so huge, an absolute win. I can't recommend it enough. I'm sure many, many veggies out there, I don't know why I just shortened vegetarians to veggies, but I'm sure many vegetarians, or veggies as we like to call it now that I had one quinoa dish, I'm sure many people know about this. It is not new to my knowledge. I, again, never go to Red Rose Tavern, but I loved it so much. It's like fully up in the top five of my Disneyland foods now. Even especially because they got rid of that candy bar over at DCA, which I'm still bitter about, but it's fine. It's fine. I will cope with that one day. One day I will deal with my drama. The other big news for my visit is that Sunday's trip, it was kind of the one that made me realize that I get it when people say Disneyland is their favorite park. Now, I am a Walt Disney World girly. I love the chaos, the monorail through the hotels, the Epcot, the Vacation Kingdom scale of it all. Really, it's like the modern 1990s television special vibes. But at Disneyland, on a day when we had no agenda, no plans, just hangs, again, another 1,000 parks in Disneyland's column, I saw easily a dozen characters wandering around. I saw Merida just walking down the path towards It's a Small World, Aurora greeting guests, chatting with kids outside Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Of course, you had the characters at the front of the park. I saw Mickey and Goofy and Pluto. I met Daisy, all of them just hanging out for meet and greets. And then later they walked through the castle as part of a cavalcade. And yes, Disneyland Park is busy. It is jam-packed. Those walkways feel like you are racing between high school stairwells to make it to your fifth period class on time. But it really is unlike anywhere else. And especially in terms of characters, I really felt that on Sunday. I totally get that some people love Disneyland for that connection to Walt. I mean, this is the only park he saw himself and experienced and built firsthand. It's the only one he slept in, technically. And the history there is essential. But personally, I just never felt that on a personal level. Though now, seeing it through this kind of surprising lens of characters everywhere, I get it more. This is the Disneyland, the one that they would show on those early TV specials, the one that seemed magical and mystical and just unfathomable. It is the blueprint, after all, the one that all others are based on. And yes, this can happen anywhere else where characters interact like this freely with day guests, but never have I ever seen it in such strict succession, just so many in a row. I mean, case in point, we sat down for that early lunch at Red Rose Tavern and Gaston walked in. Gaston! He beelined in, just like waltzed in, and I was like, oh my God, fully starstruck. He stared in a mirror and ogled himself As the tables around him were just like, okay, this is fun. He went up, he gabbed with the cast members who were working at the restaurant. He even tried to steal the rose that was on display. It was special. It was rare. It was just a blink of fun that you either see or you don't, which is so cool and so nice. But it also kept happening. We left the restaurant and we turned around and there was Mad Hatter and Alice just sitting at a table with guests who were eating a meal. And not just like a hee-hee-hee, like pop-on-pie situation, sit down, wave hello, and get up and go. They were there for a while. I want to say at least 4 full minutes. While heading over to Small World, there was a little meet-and-greet with Aladdin and Genie? Just Genie. Just casually out. Genie just casually out in the park. And remember, this was a nearly 90-degree day. They had every excuse in the world to be like, let's just let the characters chill. We don't have to have everyone meet everyone today. But no, they turned them out. And that said, asterisk, asterisk, before I praise Disneyland too much, I know performers recently unionized as part of Actors Equity. This is a pro-union podcast, and we are thrilled for them. But I also know that Disneyland recently announced big cuts to Avengers Campus Entertainment, going so far as to end the Doctor Strange show, which has an entire space built for it, a whole Sanctum Sanctorum built for the show that they just cut, but sure, Disneyland, sure. Club Pixar, which is part of Pixar Fest at California Adventure, ended their run 2 months early. Disneyland has cut back on Warriors of Wakanda shows at Avengers Campus, no longer offering them on Sundays and Mondays, and Citizens of Buena Vista Street on Thursdays and Fridays throughout most of July, which is, again, peak summer season. Those changes were reported by my friend Brady at the Orange County Register, and while they're chalked up to Disneyland reevaluating offerings, the timing, considering the unionizing, is what we like to call extremely sus. So I don't want to blindly praise Disneyland Resort when this is happening at the gate right across the way. And again, we stand with performers. We are pro-union. So whether or not the two are related, also, will we ever get a permanent show in the Hyperion again? Ever? Ever? Ticket price hasn't gone down. There's still no permanent show there. But separate of all that, I was indeed blown away by the character offerings at Disneyland Park this past week. Now, the weekend before, I also went to Disneyland, but for a very different reason. As a belated birthday gift to myself, I dragged my family to Disneyland Hotel to enjoy character dining at Goofy's Kitchen. A goofy buffet. Why don't they call it that? I don't know, but I'm only calling it a goofy from here on out. Now, I wanted to go for research and also curiosity to see if this place is really as frozen in time as I remember it. But also because, I don't know, it weirdly felt like a fun little thing to do. A no-stress day, a no-park day, just a fun little breakfast, come in, eat, and then bounce. I've done character dining at Storyteller's Cafe at Disney's Grand Californian multiple times before, and honestly, I don't love the outfits. I'm sorry, I don't want to decide what I eat based on outfits, but I don't love the outfits there. And I thought the wacky retro fun of this like pure old school meal that feels a little Floridian, if you know what I mean. I thought it would be silly and nice and a great way to spend a Saturday there without the pressure of buying park tickets for my husband and my mom who happened to be in town and doing a whole day just to get their money's worth. Now, Goofy's Kitchen was... Goofy's Kitchen was as sloppily chaotic as I anticipated. And that's not a complaint. That's kind of what you come here for. Chef Mickey's is, as I have always said, a restaurant that has the ambiance of a pediatrician's waiting room. And I didn't expect his colleague's outpost to be any different. And if you haven't been, the real perk of this place is that you meet Goofy straight out the gate. You get a proper character meet. I mean, you check in, you're given a bizarre laundry list of information, like way too much legalese about how long you're allowed to sit at the table and stuff like that. But then you turn a corner and you meet the Goof. You can see him right there in the little kitchen set in his little chef whites. It's cute. I enjoy it. But then right after that, you are immediately spit into the saddest waiting room you've ever been in. Our Goofy interaction was actually really great. He took his time, even as Pearl, let's just say, wasn't jazzed by it, but it was nice. The PhotoPass photographer took great photos, which were included at the price of breakfast. And once our name was eventually called, I was excited to dine, yet fully taken aback by how bad the lighting was in there. And before you start thinking, oh, Carly's nitpicky, she's overly critical, let me tell you, you do not notice the lighting when it's great, when it's good, or even when it's mediocre. You only notice the lighting when it is bad. And here it is so, so very bad. I thought it was maybe the interior design of the place that fell off, but I actually think that's the charm. That's the redeeming factor. It's, you just kind of feel like you're in a VHS video from 1992, but it's the lighting. It is so bleak in there because of the lighting. It is sad office job lighting. It is a mood killer. And I won't harp on it any longer because we are here to talk about the food and characters, but I can't believe they haven't just put in some of those new fancy light bulbs, because I even walked in. I said it out loud to the person seating us. I was like, oh my God, the lighting in here. And they were like, uh-huh. Even with windows, it makes no sense. It's bleak. Moving on to the food and the good stuff. For a restaurant known for peanut butter and jelly pizza, let me tell you, I had very low expectations. And they were exceeded. A fun thing about Disneyland Resort that I love specifically is that they lean into cuisine they would never have on the other coast. Like, chilaquiles are standard here for their SoCal clientele. But if I was at 1900 Park Fair and I saw chilaquiles, I'd be like, what? How did these get here? But it's standard. Like, if you go to these type of hotel breakfasts, it's a standard offering and I love it so much. I love that food and Disney have become synonymous. I love it so much. I love it so much. But when I tell you that the best thing I ate at this buffet was not French toast, not Mickey waffles, not a pastry, not even ice cream. No, the best thing I had was the pork pozole. I basically don't eat pork products any longer. If you have young kids listening, fast forward 10 seconds now. Did you know that pigs are extremely smart? Smarter than dogs? It's very upsetting. Smarter than dogs. That's why I don't eat pork anymore. But anyway, I just didn't want people to care. But anyway, I took the hit this one time for curiosity's sake. I was like, I gotta know what this big bowl of soup with hominy is like at Goofy's Kitchen. And let me tell you, it was incredible. Like, legit cooked up by an animated character, a puppy dude with man-like features. Shocking. It was, so I had two bowls of it. It was so good. As for the characters, the interactions were great. It was Chip, Dale, Pluto, and Minnie Mouse, I believe. But my child was just not having it. Which, no offense to Goofy's Kitchen, it's not their fault, but Pearl was not on board. Well, actually, she kind of liked Minnie. Minnie, she was kind of okay with. I'm starting to think she might, I don't know if I want to admit this, she might be prejudiced and only like female characters. Not that I think she'd be able to tell anthropomorphic character gender at this age, considering she's still fooled by Peekaboo. But alas, she met Daisy the following week and loved her and was kind of into Minnie. So again, I don't know. Either way, she decided she did not want to sit in her high chair. She did not want to eat. So we all had to split shifts at the restaurant, which happens when you have a child and is fine. But also, I get it. I appreciate my mini-me being like, dude, this is a weird vibe. I am out of here, and just bouncing. And even though Pearl didn't love it, I'm still going to wholeheartedly recommend Goofy's Kitchen, even with the lighting problem, which is bonkers because sitting there is not really pleasant. And yet, I wholeheartedly recommend it because here's the deal. Disney parks have gotten so expensive lately, which is not news to anyone listening to this podcast. Breakfast was $52 a person. It was all three adults. $52 per adult plus tax and gratuity, which on paper is like, that's a lot for Eggies and like a 2-second hug with Goofy. But if you zoom out, that's about $180 all in for three adults to touch Disney magic. $180 total, not another $30 for snacks, $60 for food with soda, however much for a hypothetical lightning lane to meet a character. No, it was $180 total to eat, drink, see a character, have fun. Oh, and parking is free. You know Disney has gotten wild when free parking seems shocking. So we went on June 15th, which was a Saturday, and I looked it up and it was a tier 6 day, a top tier ticket day. On that day, a 1-day, one park, tier 6 adult ticket was $194 for one person. If you are one of the people who remembers when a ticket to Animal Kingdom was under $100, join me in saying, when did this happen? I will never adjust to being shell-shocked by ticket pricing, and this is my literal job to talk about it. Anyway, rant aside. For less than the cost of one single one-day, one-park ticket, we were able to have a collective event as a family, make memories, and have a mini Disneyland day. And yes, it's not a park, there are no rides, it's just a few hours of fun, you're very close to all the fun stuff, and you don't go in, and that can be tricky, but when you start to add it up, getting a little dose of Disney magic, especially if you're cost-conscious or kind of deciding and pricing out between a one- or a two-day trip, just spending that one day just going to the breakfast is kind of nice and a reliable, relatably priced option. Now, this is not news. This is why people go to these. But for someone who lives in LA, I would never typically drive all the way to the resort just for a meal and to leave. I would maybe spend a resort day in Florida at Disney World to explore different places. But I feel like at Disneyland, because you are walking distance from the park when you are at one of the hotel breakfasts, it's just a little too tempting. I haven't really done it. And on this trip, it really opened my eyes to the drive maybe being worth it just to dine. As, I mean, it makes sense money-wise as long as you don't factor in how much you spent at the gift shop on the way out because you had to buy your child a plush Goofy because you need her to love Goofy. That aside, I thought I signed the bill and was like, whoa, 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 this was not bad. We're going to take a quick break and be back with Universal stuff. Universal news, highlights, extreme lowlights, and a necessary tip if you ever plan on bringing a small child because wow, wow. Stick around, we'll be right back. If you listen to this podcast, you know I have an arch nemesis, and that is my allergies. I've apologized in so many episodes over how noticeably I am suffering, which is why I am beyond excited to tell you there is a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding a loved one's house because they have a cat, and not just because that is a real problem in my family. Thanks to Curex, America's largest online allergy clinic, you're able to begin your journey towards becoming allergy-free with custom medication that is shipped right to your door. My life is crushed on a daily basis by allergies. I'm out here at theme parks crying through my makeup, wiping away tears and snot constantly because my body can't handle the elements, or pollen, or dust, or most makeup, just purely existing in the outdoors. Or indoors, it's a real double whammy. The amount of products we have bought in our house to help with my dust allergies is innumerable, which is why I am blown away by Curex. Because allergies aren't just something you're forced to live with. They can be treated effectively and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. All it takes is a couple of allergy drops every day, and in just 3 to 6 months, you can start feeling real relief. These allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science. And from what I'm told, in Europe, allergy drops are the go-to treatment for allergies. And if you've ever watched a French pharmacy skincare haul, you know Europeans know what's up. You can treat allergies to pollen, dust mites, mold, and even cats and dogs. Curex is America's largest online allergy clinic, and the New York Times says they are changing the landscape of allergies. So if you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month, and if you sign up now, you can save 80% off the $49 sign-up fee. And I'm bad at math, so in case you are also, that means for my calculator and my computer, you'll be spending under 10 bucks. Go to getcurex.com today for this limited time offer. That's getcurex, GetCurex.com. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex. Oh my gosh, Armoire is back! Armoire is back as a sponsor of the podcast. I know a few of you signed up and are enjoying it, so I'm thrilled to discuss them once more because what a glorious eco-friendly solution to try new clothes and new styles without wasting your money on stuff you'll never wear again. Y'all know I love goofy clothes. I love weird little clothes. But you know why I can't always wear them? Because my closet is missing key pieces. And for me, that's basics. A black skirt, a little black dress, white jeans, cutoff shorts that are more playground than wearing them on vacation. I own none of it. And with Armoire, I was able to test drive every single thing I needed. They've got the goods from designers like Paige and Lily Pulitzer and Tahari. It helped me realize that, yeah, everything I own goes with a cute little black skirt. The one that I test drove was fantastic, and I desperately need to buy one. Oh, and you can low-key buy them from them, too. That's because Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe. From cutie little trousers to kid-friendly fits to full party-ready looks with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, select items from this fun personalized closet they build for you, and items show up in as little as 2 days. When you're done, just swap them out and get more new-to-you styles. Also, Armoire is women-founded and women-led, so they understand firsthand why this service is so good. There's no more hemming and hawing at the mall, standing in a dressing room wondering, will I really wear this? Is this worth spending hundreds on? Nah, dude! Armoire is here to basically give you the clueless closet. Just endless options forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know I'm saying a lot about them. I'm saying more than I'm probably supposed to, but I just think they're really great. I just think Armoire is really great. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. $125 off! Just visit armoire.style/amusing. armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity, affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more. Right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome back. In recording this podcast, I have somehow convinced myself to go back to Storytellers. Do the other character died. I don't know why. It was just nice to only do a breakfast. It's not a revolutionary concept. I'm not saying I'm out here reinventing the wheel. It's just something I never usually think to do now that I have a magic key because I can just go to the park. And it was just really nice. It was nice to bring people who don't go to the parks and do that. It was great. I'm going to do it again. Anyway, we are in the universal segment of the podcast now because earlier this month, a couple weeks ago, I took 2 very different trips to Universal Studios Hollywood. One with my friend Lauren and another with Pearl. My visit with Lauren was, I'll say it, awesome. I mean, for the most part, it was awesome. We started the day by trekking all the way down to the lower lot to go on Jurassic World. The wait was so short. We brought ponchos. We were prepared. We were ready and excited. It was simply the move to do it so early in the morning. And then the dumbest thing in the world happened. So as you know, if you've read my reporting, I am a big fan of the Jurassic World updates to this ride. I love that they kept the charm of the original iteration, stayed true to its ethos, and just kind of plussed it. They added the new Jurassic World characters in a way that really made sense. But what I really love about it, besides the audio animatronics, is that it's rooted in realism. That moment after Bryce Dallas Howard comes on screen and you're pulling up the incline and Chris Pratt is Owen Grady, I think that's his name, blinks in and out of the screen telling you to stay calm. It's authentic. And that authenticity lends itself so well to the backstory of the attraction. So I'm on this ride with Lauren and I lean over to her to say that since she hasn't been on the Jurassic World version. And about 3 seconds after I go, see, the reason why I like this is because this is what would really happen if the ride went down. We start to realize, I think the ride is actually down. Now, we are not just in a pretend version of a ride malfunctioning, but we are on a real ride, which is actually no longer working, and everyone around us is telling us something is very wrong. And I don't know if it's because I'm wearing a plastic trash bag in 85 degree heat, or because the incline is so severe that all the blood is already pooling out of my head and sloshing to the back of my skull, but my entire body goes into an anxiety panic. Like within 30 seconds of being like, I love Jurassic World. I love the backstory of this ride. I am ripping my poncho off, sweating profusely, taking my backpack off, which I was protecting under the poncho in the front. Lauren's like, checking in, like, how are we? Like, clearly knows that I'm melting down. She's like, how are we doing? How are we feeling? Just checking in. And after 3 or 4 very long minutes, just starting to feel like I'm gonna faint, we finally start chugging up that incline. And I guess I never worry about ride vehicles stopping at all. It never crosses my mind. Is that like how you can't remember pain or you just don't want to imagine things like that? But it was unexpectedly probably the scariest moment I've ever had at a theme park to date, besides the HHN tunnel with the chainsaws at Universal Studios Hollywood that they used to have. Besides that, this was the scariest thing I've experienced. And it was for something so innocuous. I'm sure there was just a delay with a boat in the load area, like nothing. But there was no announcement. Like, it Disney, you know, they mumble over the loudspeaker, like, we'll be moving momentarily and do not exit your ride vehicle, which always seems superfluous and like, duh, obviously that's what's happening. But wow, I wish we had it. Wow, I wish we had it on this ride. I really wish we had it because the static screens, the incline, the nausea from the angle, the incline, the anxiety, the incline. I almost lost it. Listen, I take my job very professionally. And there was a moment where I was like, I may jump out. I may jump out of this ride vehicle. They will never let me back in Universal Studios Hollywood. And that is fine. I just gotta go. I was like maybe 3 minutes away from just snapping. And it really added a new ride fear element to it that I didn't anticipate. I do not know if I will go. I mean, I'm gonna go back on because I love it and because I'm foolish. But I will never look at that incline the same way. And maybe I'll just have to prepare myself just in case. But maybe I'll put the poncho on once I get to the top, once I know I'm not going to feel like I'm trapped in a Ziploc in a nightmare doomsday scenario. Anyway, rest of the trip? Fantastic. We wandered through Super Nintendo World. Again, sidebar, it is a crime that Toadstool Cafe has become this elite morning-only return window situation because it's a quick-service restaurant. It should just be open. It should just be open. It's frustrating. But the rest of the day was grand. We casually explored, we met Shrek and Fiona, we saw Waterworld from the last row, which was heaven. I am not here to get super soaker wet, and even if you sit right behind the wet zone, you can still get wet, and sometimes with that super soaker, the first one on the side, they will get you. But we sat at the top, I had a 60th shaped pretzel, which was like, I paid twice as much for it to say 60, why? I don't know, but it was fun. I got candy at the Minion store, Lauren has this uncanny and fully realized ability to pinpoint the best merchandise in any store. So we shopped around, we went in every single one. She picked up some gems. Honestly, when Universal kills it with merch, they really kill it. We had lunch at Three Broomsticks. I got the salad, which I never get because I don't think it's going to be enough food. And it was so big, I couldn't finish it. It was like an entire bag of lettuce, way more vegetables than I would have thought. Pleasantly surprised. But after spending most of the day wandering and a good chunk of that in Wizarding World, a funny thing happened. Now, I don't want to blow up Lauren's spot, especially because she does listen to this podcast, so I'm sorry, Lauren. But I was so hyped on Florian Fortescue's soft serve arriving at Universal Studios Hollywood, and Lauren knew all about this, that one of Lauren's goals for the day was to get it. And afterwards, she didn't eat much of it. And I was like, I thought, what's going on? I thought you like really wanted it. And it ends up that she was surprised that it wasn't mint-flavored frozen yogurt, but vanilla with a strip of mint. And it really opened my eyes because I am so used to Universal doing this, just having that colorful flavor strip through their vanilla soft serve. I'm used to it. I never thought that it might be weird for someone who's expecting a full flavor of soft serve. But it is kind of weird, right? Or is it not? Because it's just tastes kind of, it's just vanilla with the flavor. Isn't that what kind of all flavored froyo is? Please chime in. Please text the Churro hotline. If you're so inclined, give me a call. But like, text me. This is like a real life poll. I want to know where the Universal fans stand on this. Because she's right that it's weird, but I don't know if it's weird enough for me to not want to get it anymore. But it is weird. All said and done, Lauren and I had a blast. Still thinking about the flavor swirl. Now I really want frozen yogurt. There's this place near me in LA called Go Greek, which I always joke, if you go to get Go Greek, like your child will not go to college because it's so expensive. It is so expensive. Everyone's like, Erewhon smoothies are so expensive. Go Greek is more expensive, but it's frozen Greek yogurt. It's so delicious. It's a treat for like if I get dental work or if I'm really sad, which happens like one day a year, or I got it on my birthday. Those are the three occasions. Pain, sad, celebration. And I really want to know that I'm talking about this. And I can't even focus on what I was going to say next. I went to the park with Pearl. That's it. So Lauren and I had a great time. So much that 2 days later, when I had Pearl by myself for the whole day, I thought I could take her to the park and kind of like hunch over as she crawls across this bridge that she loves and she could physically fall off of it and it stresses me out every time. And you have to like stand right on top of her. And Mom, don't call me about this. She's fine. But like, I don't like taking her on this bridge because she loves the bridge and it makes her happy, but it's too stressful. Or I could just take her to the Jurassic Park themed playground at Universal Studios Hollywood. My annual pass, which by the way cost under $600, gets me in every day of the year with free parking. So I got in the car, I mapped it out. I think it was like 16 minutes or something like that. And I was like, let's go, let's go. I've only brought her there once before when she was really little. All we did was basically meet Shrek and then experience the parents' room, which is great. But anyway, I was like, today we experience those elevators I've never used, the ones next to the famous Starway, and we go down to the lower lot for Dino Playtime. Now, if you've been to Universal Studios Hollywood with children, you're probably in your car laughing at me because I was a fool. I did not know what was ahead. I excitedly arrive to the park. I roll up to that little elevator with my stroller and my 22-pound protege and was immediately given a spiel that had clearly been recited to hapless parents like me every hour of every day of every year. It ends up, those elevators that you see, they aren't just elevators. They aren't an easily accessible way to get to the lower lot. They are exclusively and truly for people with mobility issues and devices. And even then, it is extremely inconvenient for them to get down there as well. Now, I feel like, and I know kids are listening, so I'll be generous with the language, I feel like a grade A poopy head for never knowing about this. I've discussed Universal's restrictive seating before and cover accessibility here and there, but this was a huge blind spot for me, and I feel terrible for not knowing sooner. I thought the elevator elevated. I never thought to check it out, which is journalism 101, but I saw an elevator and I thought that thing goes straight to the lower lot, and it does not, and I am so sorry for not knowing about this. But if you do not need the elevator, then you can take the escalator. You take the escalator, the regular Starway. If you need the elevator, you basically take it down and then wait for a shuttle to come and take you to the other half of the theme park you just paid to visit. I believe they told me it was like a 15 to 20 minute journey, which is not great. Not a great experience for anyone who needs that. For people like me with strollers, I figured the main thing we talk about with strollers being frustrating at theme parks is collapsing them. Like, collapsing these bad boys with a packed stroller is tricky. We talk about it for Disney buses, for trams, things like that. It's the maneuvering that's difficult because you're most likely seated. Like, once you get on a tram, once you get on a bus, you're most likely seated. It's just the finagling of the stuff. Only here, at the Starway, it's a little different. I learned in real time that you can bring a stroller on the escalator. You just, I guess, hope nothing falls out when it's at an angle. But you have to hold your kid, which, if you don't have kids, it does not sound difficult. But if you are there, alone, with a sweet little butterball, and bags, and a purse, and a stroller that you have to hold so it doesn't fall forward, trekking down four extremely long lengths of escalator, holding on to your baby, holding on to the stroller, it's bad. It's bad. I'd hurt my shoulder earlier that week, of course, but I was determined to make it to the playground. And oh my gosh, it was not good. We eventually get down there and my upper body is like numb at this point. And we get to the play area. It's a little more advanced than I realized, which, sidebar, great to know that when she's older, this is going to be clutched because it's like a two-level playground. It's genuinely very cool. They have like a little rope area. It's awesome. Not fully for Pearl yet. She only can do a few things, but very cool. Very good to know for the future that it's kind of skews older, which is great. But she has fun. She climbs on the stairs. She plays little dino things. She has a blast. And I'm like, okay, the day is back on track. I'm dreading bringing her upstairs. It's totally cool though. I pop her back in the stroller, I give her a meal, I put snacks in her little dish, and I'm like, okay, this way we don't have to deal with us finding a high chair, we can just eat on the go, walk around, great. So we walk over to Super Nintendo Land. And here I learn, once again, I am humbled twice in a row, because I am a fool. I once again learn, strollers, straight up not allowed in Super Nintendo World. Now, as you know, this land debuted when I was heavily pregnant. And this was not something that was brought to my attention at opening. This is definitely something, when it was opening, everything I reported on was just how to physically get in the land. Like, how do you ensure that you can see this land on your trip? The stroller thing was, I was not aware of it. There was not like the full-blown line of people stopping you and making you park your stroller. I don't know when this happened. It was news to me. It's definitely while I was on maternity leave. I feel bad about not knowing earlier. But anyway, I walk up and I learn in real time that strollers are fully not allowed in Super Nintendo World at all. At all. No strollers in the land, period. And I I nearly lose it. Not because of me. Pearl doesn't need to see Princess Peach. Like, I have a pass. It's fine. I can take her in whenever. But because there are so many families who come here on vacation, so many people who pay a lot of money to have a nice time. And if they have a young child, or more likely, multiple children, and very likely one, maybe two who are older and adore Nintendo and want to play every game and do every activity, and another who might be a baby in a bassinet, a baby who's old enough to easily take on vacation but doesn't walk, a baby who needs to nap or eat and do anything a small human does, and they can't in a stroller or even in an indoor air-conditioned place because the restaurant is just bloop, not open to you to walk into. If that is your scenario, then you just went from vacation mode to instantly struggling. You just schlepped a kid all the way down here on the escalator, and now you need to very likely carry them and all your stuff for who knows how long inside the land? And I get it, Super Nintendo World is tiny, but this is just unreasonable. This is not how it should be. If you're a parent to two kids, you should want to see one meet their favorite character in the world and not have to sacrifice staying outside with one because they're sleeping in a stroller or they need to be tended to when you could very easily and hypothetically just wheel them right in. It's a one-story land for the most part. I just couldn't believe this was happening under my nose the entire time. It is bad. It is not good. I don't like it. And again, for me, I don't care. That's not why I'm upset. But if you're planning a trip, one, I am so sorry I did not know about this. I go to these parks so often, I cannot believe I had this kind of a blind spot. This affects your trip so much, especially if you're the only adult going. And two, I am so sorry for not mentioning this in my previous coverage. This has happened to you and I did not flag it. I feel very guilty. Baby stuff was a blind spot for me for a long time, but no longer. And I just want to make sure I shout it from the rooftops to make sure everyone knows that going to the lower lot with a small child is not as easy as you think it might be. Now, while Universal Studios Hollywood doesn't really have a lot for little kids, we all know that, there are a handful of things young ones are allowed to do. And because I am now working through guilt about not knowing about this lower lot predicament, I want to mention that I personally don't recommend you do all of the ones that you can do with a small child. DreamWorks Theater featuring Kung Fu Panda and the Universal Studios Tour, they do allow kids of any age because neither have a height requirement. But I do think it would be too loud and too scary for someone who's at the age where they're conscious of what's going on around them. Also, the idea of being trapped on a tram for an hour with a child at any stage under 2 or 3 is absolutely terrifying to me. What if they have to go to the bathroom? What if they have a meltdown because they can't move or crawl around? You are trapped in that metal tube watching King Kong destroy animals with that extremely loud music, surrounded by strangers. You can't leave. You can't move. It's just kind of a terrifying scenario for any kid who is too young to be reasoned with, or honestly, and or bribed. So those are out. On the upper lot, there is a Minions playground. There's a really great Minions water play area, and there is a spinner ride similar to Dumbo. I think it's a great land that makes really good use of that space. For me, Pearl is still a smidge young for this. It's kind of for kids a little older. Even the playground skews a little older. We will eventually be living that water bucket lifestyle, but we did go on the spinner ride and that was great. That is a really fun option for when things are limited for little kids and for when you don't want to carry them any longer because you just carried them so much. Honestly, before I had kids, I didn't know carrying them was a whole thing because when you don't have kids, you just walk around. See all these parents carrying kids? Can't be that hard. Can't be that hard. It's like how most people learn how to drive. Like, you just figure it out. People are carrying kids. Didn't seem that hard. It is the only reason I'm in the gym 4 to 5 days a week, so that my body can hold itself up to hold my daughter. And my daughter doesn't even weigh that much. She weighs less than other people's kids. And yet, it's, listen, parenthood is a lot. This is not a parenthood podcast, but the upper body strength it requires, Nobody tells you. So anyway, I need to formally apologize for all the things I didn't know. I'm glad I could recommend food I didn't expect to recommend. Salads? Quinoa? Who would have thought? Let me know your thoughts on the ice cream. Again, the flavor strip, it never bothered me, but maybe now it does? I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking around. And get excited for next week because I wasn't going to spoil it, but I might. But let's just say, okay, I'm going to say this. Let's just say there is an attraction at Universal Studios Hollywood that we mentioned on this podcast that is similar to other attractions elsewhere in Los Angeles. And next week, we are reviewing all of them. So get excited. Get excited for that one. That's all. Okay. Yeah, that's all. Okay, bye. Okay, love you all. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Carly, I dated to Japan with my younger daughter, called in ages ago, and you played a couple of my calls. Anyways, I'm making this call from Fantasy Springs. Being a DVC owner, to get the Maricosta, huge advantage. You get it an hour early. It gives you time to immediately jump on the standby and premier pass to get into the rides in Fantasy Springs, which you can only get into Fantasy Springs if you have a ride reservation. We have, in 2 days, we managed to get on 3 of the 4 attractions. The Frozen and Lost Boys / Peter Pan attractions are insanely long, and if they were ever in a U.S. park, people would lose their minds. We are so spoiled when you're in Disney Sea. So anyways, we're having a wonderful vacation, and unrelated to Disney, getting to Kyoto on the speed train, the bullet train, is amazing and highly, highly recommended. Anyway, having a wonderful vacation. Thanks for all your advice. And look forward to your next episode. Bye.
Y'all, we got a call straight from Fantasy Springs, from the hottest new land in Disney parks across the globe. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for this intel. I'm so glad your trip went so well. I am a pinch jealous because I would love to go back to Tokyo and see this, though. From what I've seen all over my feeds, getting into this land, getting the standby passes and all that is stressful. So maybe I'm quite content back at home, just going bopping between Disney World and Disneyland. Anyway, thank you so much for this call. I feel so tapped in. I'm so glad your trip went well, and have the best time. And for anyone going, have so much fun in Fantasy Springs. Have so much fun.
Hey Carly, I just saw you post a story about taking Pearl to Universal Studios Hollywood and how you didn't realize what it's like to take a baby to the lower lot. So welcome to the club. Last year, in April of 2023, when I was 3-4 months pregnant with my second kid, I decided that I would take my husband to Universal Hollywood for Nintendo World for his birthday. Thankfully, we took my mother-in-law, and he had no idea when we got to the escalators that our child in our stroller could not go in the elevator. So the people at USH were incredibly wonderful and let my mother-in-law take the stroller in the elevator because we had abandoned her to get into Toad's Cafe. And they just really took great care of her and let her in the elevator, which is apparently not allowed with a stroller. And then she somehow got on a bus and ended up at the lower lot. I don't know how she got there. She survived. We made it. We carried the stroller back up the escalators hours later, and it was absolutely wild. Never again. Never again. I'm glad I did it once, and I wish I could go again, but not with a stroller. And now not with two kids. Definitely not. So welcome to the club. you have now been christened a parent of Universal Hollywood. And yeah, thanks. Hope you have a great night.
Thank you for this call. Thank you for initiating me into this club that I wish we weren't in. I wish it was easier to get down there and get around with a stroller. I just need to once again address that I'm doing my best. I really have to take the L on this. I am an expert. I am a journalist. I take it very seriously. And I'm joking a lot, but I do feel very bad that I didn't know about the stroller thing, didn't know about the elevators, didn't know about strollers not coming into Super Nintendo World. Again, that land opened, I believe, probably like while I was in the hospital. So I missed the actual opening with people in it, which is why I had a blind spot for this stroller thing. I just need to reiterate that because I feel so bad and I feel like I led people astray with my big ol' Universal Studios Hollywood Super Nintendo episode. So thank you for initiating me. Calling, like, making it a club feels a little better than me just being a goof and not knowing how challenging things can be with small children. But that's why I'm here, and I'm learning, and I'm doing my best, and I appreciate this, because the solidarity really is important, because getting down that lower lot ain't easy. It ain't easy. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one who looked around and went, "I'm sorry, what?" To all of it. So thank you so much for this. Thank you for calling. And if anyone has tips of like stuff I'm going to run into like this in the next year or two, please let me know. I'm flying blind out here. Listen, I haven't read a parenting book. I think I'm doing pretty well. When it comes to theme parks, I am learning a lot, a mile a minute. So thank you again for so warmly bringing me into the fold on this. And I'm so sorry you had to also deal with this. Okay, bye. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening! You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. Give us a call at 747-CHURROS! Send us a voice note or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. You can grab Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com, and you can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all of the things. Don't forget to join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And if you're so inclined, subscribe to my Instagram. It's fun. It's like I'm posting less on regular Instagram and more on subscriber Instagram. I post maybe there's like an extra 20, 25 stories a week. I do a monthly post. We do regular Q&As. It's fun. It's fun. The next post is going to be, I don't want to spoil it. You got to subscribe to see it. It's fun. Subscribing is fun. Just come subscribe. It's like a little party inside a party. I love it. This episode was edited opulently by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, hon, it's Mom. I'm so excited. Very Amusing is back. I was back in LA last week helping with Pearl when you were in Orlando for the new ride and the meetings. And I didn't realize that you were coming back to Very Amusing so soon, so I would have definitely have done a live taping with you, right? But I'll be back again next week, and I might as well just move in, right? Right? Okay. The best line of the 80-minute Very Amusing podcast was, "A lightning lane for the lightning lane." It's brilliant. I would absolutely pay more to be whisked right through to go right to the ride. I love that. Oh, and if you ever pay for a VIP tour, I am so coming with you. Did not know about the George W. Bush painting. I think that's cool. I'll definitely check that out next time. And I just wanted to let you know, first of all, happy birthday. I am so happy that the birthday cake that I sent you for your birthday was a hit. A birthday cake with Jay is pretty cool, and others, of course. But I'm so happy that the cake that I sent you incited a bar birthday party with Shay and friends. How fun is that? And Shay, thank you for my little video that you made for me. I was very excited to get that. Thank you, honey. And thank you to Mark Sikowski, who is the greatest baker, and the cake was absolutely gorgeous. It was a masterpiece. And Mark dropping it off at the hotel, he is the best. So happy for you, honey. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Louis the alligator is adorable. I don't know what he's from or what he did, so I have to learn about that. And I don't know anything about lizard lips changing names to rum. You'll have to fill me in on that too. I have no idea. So my last question is, do you think that I would be able to ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure? Because there's no big drop. Is it like pirate ride? Kind of like that drop? Because I would definitely do it if it wasn't bad. or not scary. I love you. I love you, Pearl. Great episode. And of course, I love you, John Stamos. That's a given. See you next week. Bye.